Anybody here want to know how to win life's battles? Anybody? Okay, all right, good. All right, we have the right folks here. And the song we just sang, you're going to understand it in a little bit even further. Because no matter where we are in life, God's love endures forever. Whether we're on top of the mountain, on the bottom of the valley, or anywhere in between. No matter what we're going through, if there's a battle that's come upon us, and we're in a place where we don't think we can win, and we're ready to give up and give out, God's love endures forever. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and forever. Forever. So you're never without God's love, regardless of what you're going through. But even more so, because God loves you so much, God is able to help you win every battle you'll ever fight. Good news this morning? But we have to know how, right? We're on our end of it, God knows how to win. We know how to help ourselves by allowing God to help us win. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 this morning. 2 Chronicles 20. Second Chronicles 20, we're going to begin at the first verse. Story that gives us exactly all the how-tos. Sometimes we just need to know how, don't we? We know who, we know what's happening, we just need to know how. Here you go, you ready this morning? You may want to take some notes on this, because you may need it later. I don't know whether you're in a battle now or if you're going to be one in the future. We all fight battles in our life one way, shape, or form or another. So keep this for future reference should you need it. Not saying that you're going to have any battles. You may battle with yourself from time to time even, but let God win. All right, 2 Chronicles, verse 1. After this, the armies of the Moabites, Ammonites, and some of the Mennonites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They're already at Hazanon Tamar." So here's the thing. A huge army is coming. So a messenger comes and warns Jehoshaphat that he's ready to be attacked by a bunch of people. This was another name for En-Gedi. Jehoshaphat was alarmed by this news. Anybody here, when you hear some news that, you know, there's a battle coming, or maybe you're in a battle, or you somebody tells you, or you read somewhere, somehow, some message comes to you that, uh-oh, there's an army coming after you. And maybe sometimes the army isn't real people that's an army, but it might be an army of problems. Anybody here have one thing after the other, right? Yeah, we know, right? Okay, so you're getting what I'm saying. It may not be literal army that's coming after you or us. But things can come at us, can't they? Of course. So let's see the very first thing on one of the hows to win a battle. Because first of all, what happens is Jehoshaphat becomes alarmed. Do we first react in fear, correct? Every time, right? Of course. That's a normal, natural human reaction, to become afraid. Uh-oh. And then he does the very first how that I want to teach you today. Jehoshaphat was alarmed by this news and sought the Lord for guidance. Very first step. As soon as you come out of your fear, the very first thing you do right after that is seek God for guidance. Go to God for guidance. What do I do now, God? Seek God. He also gave orders for all the towns of Judah that everyone would observe a fast and pray. So the second thing Jehoshaphat does, first he asks God for guidance, then he asks people to pray, right? So first step, seek God. Second step, ask others to pray. Ask others to pray. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord. So once the word spread, all the people came to Jerusalem to pray. This is where the Holy Temple was. So they, all those towns where they were living, everybody gathered together to pray. Every once in a while, when there is a big thing going on in your life or in the life of our church, we're going to call on you to come into the temple to pray. That's the third step of our how. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord. Jehoshaphat stood before the people of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord. And then he prayed. Lord God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are the ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. What kind of prayer is Jehoshaphat praying? A prayer of affirmation and truth, telling himself and all the people listening who God is. Nothing or no one can stand against God. So he was affirming that. That was his prayer. So this is the type of prayer he gives to the crowd. Oh God, did you not drive out those who lived in the land when your people arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple for you. They said, whenever we are faced with any calamity such as war, disease, or famine, we can come and stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. What is Jehoshaphat? The next step he's doing is reminding the people of all the things that God had done, right? He was saying, remember when so-and-so had this problem in their life? Remember when you were stuck in a place where you didn't realize you could get out of and God got you out of that? Remember the miracle that happened that day for so-and-so? He's reminding the people. He's also praying the prayer that Solomon prayed when that temple was built. The very same prayer Solomon prayed and said, whenever we gather in this temple in your presence, we can call on you and you will hear us, whether it's war, famine, or disease, and you will come and save us. That's another prayer of solidity and of true faith and belief in God, right? So that's the next step he takes, is to reaffirm a prayer that's already been prayed, but reminding the people as well of all that God has done. See, sometimes when we're in the middle of a problem, we forget how many other problems God got us out of, right? When you really think about it, our mind doesn't drift back to, oh, this is just like thus and such. This is just like the time when this is just like the time when she or he or this happened to those people. And I saw what God did. We all need to recollect the memories of all the good God has done. Has God done anything for any one of you in this room or those watching? Some of us are alive by the pure grace of God, right? Right? Oh, boy. Some of the things we got ourselves into that God got us out of, right? That's what we have to remind ourselves of. Every time we're faced with a new problem, we remind our problem of the last time God saved us and helped us. And we're reminding ourselves and each other. So that's the prayer that Jehoshaphat prayed. And now see what the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. You would not let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt, so we went around them and did not destroy them. Now see how they reward us. They've come to throw us out of your land, which you gave us as an inheritance. God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we're looking to you for help. The very next thing that Jehoshaphat is expressing is the problem he has, right? He states it, exactly what it is. And then the very next thing he says to God is, I and we are powerless to solve this problem. We don't want to feel powerless, do we, folks? We don't want to be out of control, do we, folks? We can fix everything, can't we, folks? we can save everybody, can't we? No. When we admit our powerlessness and that we need God's help, that's how God goes, oh, good, I can step in and help you. You're asking me for help. So it's perfectly okay. And one of the steps of how to win a battle is to admit you're powerless and you need God's help and only God's help. Because God is the one that can rescue us and save us, right? Every single time, once in a while, when he feels like it, if he's not having a busy day, all the time, every time. Because he saved us in the past, he'll save us now, and he'll save us in the future. We just have to admit our powerlessness. We don't know what to do. Are there times when you just don't know what to do, how to solve a problem? And I know we love Google and everything, but not even Google has all the answers. I know you're shocked. But God does. But God does. God knows exactly, perfectly, because God knows everything that's going on behind the scenes that you don't know. That's a great mystery of life. What does God know that I don't know? A lot. Can you trust God to know what you don't know and to help you in the way you need help? Yes. Yes. So he goes to God for help. As all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children. So here's this. You see this? They're in the church, right? Everybody's standing there, wives, children, all the families are gathered in this holy temple because there's a big problem that all of them are going to face. And while they're praying, watch what happens. The Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. The Holy Spirit came and spoke through one of the men standing there. The man isn't even named. But somehow, some way, as the people were praying and saying to God, help us, help us, help us. We're powerless. Save us. While that was happening, the Spirit of God reacted and spoke to a person gathered there. And here's what happens. The Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jehiel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, who was son of Mattaniah, a Levite, who was a descendant of Asaph. Now we find out who this is. This he's been around the church a while, evidently. Son of a Levite, right? A priest. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says. So listen, whenever you're having a problem, you may want to keep 2 Chronicles marked in your Bible. You know, you can always put a little marker there. You can turn down the page. You can write it on a piece of paper, put it in your tablet, put it in a note. When I need help with winning battles, this is the scripture I'm going to go to. Because this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Have we ever heard that before from God? Only 365 times in the Bible. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Every battle we fight, everything that comes against us, every problem we face, every circumstance that we have no control over, everything that's outside of our control that comes our way that seems to be something that hurts us or harms us or causes us to get afraid. Every battle any one of us ever face, the battle is not yours to fight. It's God's. It's okay to allow God to fight your battles for you. I kind of like that idea. I'm kind of on the lazy side sometimes. Like, God, I can't fix this. Here. God, this person over here, I can't fix them. Here. This situation in this person's life, I can't handle it. Here. This situation in my life, I don't know what to do about it, and it's causing me to be afraid. Here, you fix it. That's how you find peace. Is God not stronger than you? Yes. It's okay to admit that. We're pretty smart, most of us. I get that. But God is greater. And wouldn't it be great if you could just take hands off your life and the lives of others and let God? Wouldn't that be great if you could practice that one step, how to win a battle, is you not fighting it? There are some battles we're going to fight, but we have to know which ones they are. But the battles you want to win, let God fight it for you. Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jericho. But you will not even need to fight. What? Isn't that, doesn't it go counter to what we believe? Don't most of us think we're supposed to get in there and fight and get in there to solve people's problems and to tell people what to do and how to do whatever? And aren't we the type of people that sometimes figure out, think we got it all together and we can tell somebody else how to live their life? No, is that only me? Okay, all right, so whatever. All right. What does God tell them to go do? Leave the temple and go out, right? Just go. Go to the battle. Face it. See, some of us, when the battles come, are about you, but I kind of like pull the covers over my head. I love Facebook then, really, man. When I'm the scaredest, I'm on the Facebook. Because I can be distracted by that. Or maybe I'm shopping. I can go, you know, look at this, look at that, look at this. I can forget about all the stuff that's bothering me. Anybody else beside me do any of that? Nobody. Okay, all right. No Facebook. What? Oh, do we already lose track of what we're supposed to do? The how to? We go to God for guidance. We tell others to pray for us. We gather in the temple. We pray affirming prayers. This is who you are, God. No weapon formed against us will ever prosper. If God is for us, who can ever be against us? I remember when God helped me that time when I was really lost. I didn't know where to turn. Oh, God, by the way, I don't know how to fix this. Can you do it for me? That's one of the steps, right? He says, take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. I don't know about you, but that doesn't work for a type A personality like me. You're going to march out to this army of things that are coming against you. You're going to sit down and try to figure out how to solve this problem you have, right? This situation you find yourself or people are in, and you're going to just sit still and watch God handle it. Right. I'm going to wait for God. I'm going to wait for God. I'm going to wait for God when I need to do something. I need to do something. Don't you? You got to say something. You got to stand still and watch God do something. Oh, my goodness. Oh. This is where the army of people are beneficial to you. They kind of hold you still before you go try to do something. You know, I gotta go tell them. I gotta give them this advice. I gotta go save them. I just gotta go. Anybody else feel that way ever? What is God speaking through the prophet telling us today? Stand still and watch what God does. How long do I have to stand here, God? Long as it takes. Long as it takes? Oh, remember, we're powerless over solving it. Remember we said that a while ago? If we're powerless to solve it, why are we in such a hurry to rush in and fix it? We're either powerless or we're fixers. But we're not both, are we? But we're powerless fixers. Instead, how about we sit still, truly, and trust God? If God says he's going to win the battle for us and there's nothing we have to do, how about we learn to trust that? Take your position. Stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. He says it again. Because what's causing us to want to step in? The fear it's not going to get solved, right? The fear that God's not going to do something. The fear that God's not going to take care of it the way I want to take care of. He's not going to do it fast enough for me if you're like me. Come on, God. It's been like 7 seconds already. What is taking you so long? Anyway. And then we become discouraged. We don't see it when. Instantaneously. It's not fast enough. I mean, the army's approaching. The problem's coming towards us. And we think we have to do something, right? No, the step is stand still. Watch God have the victory. You've turned the problem over to God. You've listened to somebody who spoke through the Spirit. Now, don't be afraid or discouraged. Hang in there. Go out there tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Then King Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Now, there's something you can do while you're waiting. Worship God. Praise God. Sing songs of praise. Act as if the problem's already been solved. Act as if you're already there at the end of the battle, and you've already won, and you go, the Lord is love. Oh, the Lord is great. Whoa, whoa, sing praise. Yes, thank you, God. We won. I knew you could do it. Go to that place of worship, worshiping God for all he's already done in the past, all he's doing now. But who does it change? It changes you and me, right, when we worship God. We bow before him and we say we worship God, we know you've helped us before. I'm just going to praise you. I'm just going to worship you. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I know it's going to be good. And I love you, God. Thank you, God. If you're going to be standing still, you might as well, the next step, it's okay to move, but move into prayer, in praise, and worship. In fact, when you feel the worst, that's the time you need to be at church the most. And I know sometimes that isn't the case. For those of us that go away and want to be by ourselves, we don't want to show that we're powerless. We don't want to show we're going through things. We're supposed to be the happy Christian all the time with smiley plastic faces. You know, like Halloween, you know that grin you get to put on? The wax grin, pretending everything is good? No, this is authenticity we talk about here. All of us are going to face problems, aren't we? Some of us already are, aren't we? Yes. We love God. We worship God. But we also know we're powerless to solve the problem. We're going to be authentic about that and say we need help. So the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood in to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. Here's what's happening, right? Jehoshaphat, after he hears that God's going to give him the victory, he decides to worship God and he starts praising God. And while he's praising God and singing praises to God, he obviously had a better voice than I did, but needless to say, he's praising God through song, and all of a sudden, the people there start to shout in victory. They're changing their spirit inside of themselves, the fear of subsiding, and they're starting to imagine and think about, you know what, we probably are going to get through this. God's helped us before. You know what, I'm gonna go ahead and praise God as though it's going to be solved for me. And they started praising, and all of a sudden, some of the people started shouting in victory. Like, I get it, we're already there. If you could go to your future from the place you are right now, where it might be dark and dismal, but if you could go to your future time where you see yourself victorious and what it sounds like, feels like, and what it's like to win that battle, what does that feel like, right? If you could go there every time. If you get on an airplane, you know, I used to be afraid of flying because I always used to think about the plane crashing. So that would make me afraid to fly. So every time I went on the plane, I was like, what was that noise? I'm going to crash. What was that noise? Oh, my God, the wings are going like this. Oh, my. And when I went to therapy for that, I learned a great thing. They said, instead of thinking about the plane crashing, how about landing safe? Imagine what it's like when you see your mom and your dad greeting you at the airport. Imagine when they start waving at you. Imagine what you're going to be doing like 3 or 4 days with your family after you get there. Changes it, doesn't it? Even when somebody is ready to leave this earth and we feel sorry and we feel that sense of loss already starting to set in, if we imagine them in heaven, that glorious place with God greeting them and the cheers of the angels and all of our friends and family that are already there gathering around them in a huge celebration, if you imagine them there, it helps to ease some of the pain, doesn't it? When you are going through a difficult time, imagine what it's like to succeed and to win. What does that sound like? What does that feel like? How do you go around your life after that? Then you have a real smile, right? And sometimes we shout, if you're like me. I'm kind of a shouter, if you didn't notice that. Yes, you did it! Yay! Okay. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, "Listen to me, all of you people of Judah and Jerusalem and Cornerstone. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm." So he's telling them, believe. Another how, believe. And a reminder, how. We have to help people believe in the Lord our God and to help them stand firm. So those of us that are speakers, we're going to say to you, if you're going after a battle, you're going into battle, we're going to say, believe in the Lord your God. You're going to have victory. And we believe it, don't we? And help them believe it too. So we encourage others. That's one of the steps of our how. After consulting the leaders of the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army. You don't think music's important in the church? If you ever notice, we have singing before we worship, before we preach, before we do anything, right? Music, right? And doesn't it sound a little weird that you're going into a battle and you're going to say, okay, we're going into a battle. We got to get our army together. Would all the singers come forward, please? Does that make any sense, really, when you think about the things, right? You imagine if we went to war with singers going ahead? Could that not change the outcome, perhaps? Put down our weapons of war and sing instead? When we march out and we're trying to, you know, we're going out and we're saying, you know, God loves us all. Whatever marching we do, we sing as we go. That changes not only them, but us. So he gathers all the singers. They were singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang. Are you ready? Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. Did you know you were singing the scriptures this morning, church? For he is good, he is above all things. See why we need singers? At that moment, watch this. At that moment of while they're singing this song, give thanks to the Lord, his love endures forever. At that moment, they began to sing and give praise. The Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. How about that? That's a lot of people, right? That's how many battle armors people there were coming towards this vast singer group. They started fighting among themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. And after they finished off the army of Seir, they turned on each other. Wow. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, there were dead bodies lying on the ground for as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. When you sing praises to God and when you affirm the scriptures, whether it's through word or song, and especially his love endures forever, no matter what, give thanks to the Lord, all of our enemies fall at our feet. All of the things that were troubling you fall away. And you don't have to even fight. When the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point, there were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. All your problems are going to escape you. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables. Not only did they defeat the army, guess what? They got blessings on top of it. There was so much plunder, it took 3 days to collect it all. On the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Blessing. This is the last part of the how, which got its name because the people praised and thanked God there. So at the end of the battle, where did they go? The Valley of Blessing. And praise God. When you win your battles, whatever your battles are, praise God. Thank God. Tell others about what God has done for you. You know, sometimes we hear prayers and we say prayers, and sometimes we don't even know the ending of the prayer, do we? That's why we need to put the praises out there as well. Hey, this was going on, but here's what God did to give victory. It is still called the Valley of Blessing today. Then they returned to Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat leading them, full of joy that the Lord had given them victory over their enemies. They marched into Jerusalem to the music. They went out marching, right? Singing. They come back where? To Jerusalem? Singing some more. When the surrounding kingdoms heard that the Lord himself had fought against the enemies of Israel, the fear of God came over them. Verse 30. So Jehoshaphat's kingdom was at peace, for God had given him rest on every side. Jehoshaphat ended up serving 35 more years in peace. Wow. So far, do you get the hows yet? A real important how is to sing to your problems. Sing to them. I might not have money, but God will bless me. He can give me everything I need. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. No matter what you're going through, the God will see you through. His love endures forever. There is nothing he can't do. The Lord endures forever. Sing praise. Make it up as you go. It's okay. Sing praise. You'll see one day. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us forever and ever and ever. His love endures forever. 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 And ever, and ever, and ever. Amen. So before you leave, if you have a prayer, if you have a prayer of a problem in your life right now, sing to it. Sing to it. Tell it what God can do. Show those problems in your life and help other people who have problems. Help them believe in our God. Shout victory even before you fight that battle. You understand? You got the how to? Sing praise. Amen.